Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Well, we are going to be starting a new series. We've finished up the story series last week, and that was a fun journey. It's hard to believe it. It was some 9 months, plus or minus, there with some different things we did along the way, Christmas and all of that. But we're beginning a new series, and I'm calling this really more a series of series. And it's centered around the word discipleship and what it means to be a disciple. And so today we're going to tackle that. And this month, in March, we're going to look at the what, the why, and the how. And mixed in there, we're also going to have time from one of our missionaries who hasn't spoken in quite a while, as well as follow-up to a testimony at the end of the month. But all that to say, we're going to be looking at it in this month. These are the three questions that I'm going to try to tackle. What is discipleship, or what does it mean to be a disciple? Why should I prioritize this? And then how do we go about this? And specifically, we're going to get a little nitty-gritty, and we're going to look at studying God's Word, and what does that mean, and how can we do this in our own life? Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but we get this idea that it's just like a checkbox to check off, right? You know, we are going to read our Bible, check. And that's a great thing. It's a good habit to get into. But God's Word says a little bit more than just reading. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, they didn't have the Bible at that point, but they said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching because that's what they had. That was the firsthand account from those that had seen, lived, and spent time with Jesus. And they took that and they spread that all over the known world. And so we're going to look at that a little bit. But today we're going to look at this idea of drawing closer to the Lord, spending time with Him. What does it mean in our lives to be a disciple? And really what I pray is that at the end of this time today, you'll have that rekindled fire in your heart to spend more time with God and to really be in His presence. And sometimes we want to do things for God, but I'm convinced it's really more about being with God and letting Him work through us, because it's only through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, can our lives really be changed. But let me pray for us really quick as we get going here, if you don't mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning asking you today that this message be your words. Lord, as we tackle this idea of discipleship and what does that mean and why is it important to us and how do we go about it, Lord, I pray that we would draw closer to you. And I ask that it would help us to better understand what it is and how we are to do it. And Lord, most importantly, I pray that this would stir a fire in our heart that leads us to be multiplying disciples, those that are taking the message of the gospel wherever we go. And I know you're a God of not just addition, but of multiplication. And we thank you for that. And Lord, I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, that is the question. What is discipleship? And this is the phrase that I'm going to try to get you to by the end. Is discipleship does this. It leads us to knowing where our identity is. And our identity in Christ will lead to multiplication. You know, time and time again, if we read Scripture, we see how God works as He would work in small groups. Think of Jesus, for instance. He had 12 disciples, 11 that continued on after His work on the cross and raising from the dead. But we read that He actually spent some intimate time with three, more time with three. And from that, we see that over and over again, God multiplied that. And this basic simple math of if I invest or if God invests in three people, and then those three people each invest in three people, and then three people. And you see, if you start doing powers of three, you can see how the gospel can spread so quickly. And then once in a while, like we saw at Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, we see thousands come. You know, in fact, that's not just something that happened in Acts. If you read what's going on in campuses around the country, and I just pray that these movements are really God-honoring and glorifying, but we're seeing people by the hundreds, by the thousands, give their life over to Jesus because people are willing to boldly state, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what's amazing is God takes it from there. So our identity leads to multiplication. Understanding that our identity is not in who, what we do. It's not even in anything that's involved with us, but ultimately it's involved if we're a follower of Jesus Christ in Him. And that leads to this idea of sharing the gospel and multiplying. And it starts with Jesus. Jesus sent, gave the message to His disciples and sent them out to follow Him and to model His life. And so let me define the word disciple for you here, and I'm not going to define it in a Christian setting right this moment, but according to the Webster's Dictionary, it says the disciple is a person who believes in the ideas and principles, and they say of someone famous or in somebody, and tries to live the way that person did. Let me say that one more time. A disciple is a person who believes in the ideas and the principles of somebody and tries to live in a way that that person does or did. Okay, so you think of the original disciples, they were trying to follow Jesus and they were trying to live like He was living. Today, the message and the method is no different. We are to be, and we are called to be disciples. So this gives us a couple of things. We need to believe in the ideas and the principles that Jesus believed in. And then, this is where the rubber meets the road, as we begin trying to live the way He did. Now, let me just say, full disclaimer, you're never going to be able to be like Jesus. He's God, and that's just the way it is. However, we did see, and we do know, that because He left and went back to heaven, and He'll be coming again, He sent the Holy Spirit in our lives. And my Bible tells me that we're able to live and become more like Christ, not because of anything we do, but because of what the Holy Spirit does in us. So in Matthew 16, this is where we're going to spend a good bit of time, and I've got other passages, but if you want to kind of bookmark that one, in Matthew 16, we're going to look at verse 24. We're going to look at one verse, but I don't want to take that one verse out of context. I want to help us understand what's going on in Matthew 16. Well, in Matthew 16, Jesus is challenged by the religious leaders. Sounds familiar, right? That was kind of His lot when He was on earth. He was always challenged by them. And so He addresses them in their concern, and you can read about that at the beginning of the chapter 16, and He rebukes them even and kind of calls them out. And amongst that, He also is teaching those following Him, His disciples, how to be on the lookout for false teachers. Now, I can only imagine what the scribes, the Pharisees would have thought, because they were smart enough to understand that Jesus was talking about them. But He's going through this process and giving them this idea. This is how you indeed identify false teachers. And then Jesus shifts kind of in verse 13 and goes to His inner core, His disciples, and engages them and says, "Who do you say I am?" And there's some dialogue there. And Peter there in verse 16 would tell him that, you know, you are the Christ, you're the Messiah. And, you know, I love Peter. He oftentimes got right to the point. And Jesus says, yes, this is true, but because the fact that I am the Messiah, this is what must happen, that I must suffer and die on a cross for the sins of the world. And so this is where Peter's earthly side shows up, and he goes, never, that's not going to happen. And Jesus, of course, rebukes him and says, away from me, Satan. This is what must happen. You realize that I'm the Messiah, but what did the Old Testament tell him the Messiah would have to do? Would have to die on a cross. And so it's in the midst of this that we get to verse 24. In the midst of this, we get to verse 24 in Matthew chapter 16, and it says this. It said, then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone would come after me, or if anyone would follow after me, or maybe we could say, if anyone wants to be my disciple, this is what must happen. He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself or yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Seems simple, right? Jesus gave him, here's three things you got to do. But is that easy? The answer is no. What did Jesus just tell them He was going to do? He was going to be turned over, beaten. He's going to be crucified. And so now Jesus is telling His disciples, if you want to be like me, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, that is what you have looking forward to. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Well, denial, let's start there. The first part is deny yourself. Warren Wiersbe, former pastor at Moody Church, said this about denying self. Denying self is not the same as self-denial. We practice self-denial when, for a good purpose, we occasionally give up things or activities. But we deny self when we surrender ourselves to Christ and determine to obey His will. Let me try to decipher this a little bit. Some of you you like to do New Year's resolutions, or I'm going to lose X pounds right now. And in those moments, you are going to do something to try to better yourself, right? You're like, man, I really need to get this under control. I need to stop eating sugar and all these things. So I'm going to deny myself, just sugar for a while. But what invariably happens? I mean, I've met very few people in this life that have the self-determination to be able to do those things. My mother-in-law is one of them. She's amazing. She can just figure out, I'm going to do this. And man, she's like a bulldog and she just gets it done. And I respect her for that. I am not that way. FYI, I've said I've given up sugar and carbs so many times in my life, but I do for a while, but I end up coming back. So what Warren Wiersbe is saying here, it's not just you giving up something. It's saying, I'm fully surrendered to God. Fully surrendered. Now realize, we're sinful. We're going to have this sin nature in us that always wants to do what we're not supposed to do. Paul wrote about it in Romans. He said, I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I do want to do. What hope is there for me? And what does he end up saying? But by God's grace, I am able to follow Him. Surrender to God's will is an incredibly important part of this. And so when it says deny yourself, it's essentially saying you must surrender your will to His. Don't forget, disciple is saying, I believe what he believes and I'm going to do what he does. So in other words, saying I'm going to do what his will is. And it's about surrender. Well, one set of verses that just really speaks to this loud and clear to me that helps us understand about what God's will is and what we're supposed to be doing and surrendering is a little bit later in Matthew in chapter 28. We see these famous verses that we read a lot and we say a lot, sometimes called the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and we get a glimpse of here. So Jesus, remember, now fast forward a little bit. Jesus has died on the cross. He's paid for our sins. He's risen from the grave, and now he's getting ready to go to heaven, and he tells his disciples, don't forget, you need to surrender to this will. And Jesus then comes and says, came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. By the way, don't skip that verse. Sometimes we want to drop down to verse 19, but verse 19 says, therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? It's pointing back to 18. Don't ever skip over that. That's part of the surrender, recognizing that all authority in heaven and earth is Jesus. And now he's saying, therefore, because of that and everything I've done, therefore go make disciples of all the nations or all the people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And don't miss this either. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. One big takeaway that just jumps out at me in this is that we are called to be disciples and surrender to Him, but Jesus is not going to leave us. The first verse tells us, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, therefore you go. And then he says in verse 20 that, by the way, I'm going to be with you always to the very end of the age. See, the biggest lie of the enemy is that the enemy, Satan, will try to tell you that God's going to leave you. You're going to feel isolated. And sometimes this happens because of broken relationships in this world. We sometimes equate, like, for instance, love to a father, like love to our father on this earth. And I can tell you what, if you compare that, there's going to be some brokenness and God is above that. But don't ever forget that Jesus is saying, listen, I have been given all authority. Now I'm transferring it to you. I'm calling you to go. And oh, by the way, I'm going to be with you always. This screams surrender. And it's no surprise that, in my opinion, every church mission statement should be based on this passage right here. And ours is no different, inviting you on a journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. It just screams invitation and that idea that we have a part in playing, and we want to come alongside of you with Jesus for your journey that God is taking you on. And ultimately, it's about knowing and following Jesus. That is who we are. That's who we try to be. And that's what we try to scream from the mountaintops. A couple things. Number one, I've already mentioned this. Jesus is given authority. He has authority. And so because of that, he has the authority and he's transferring it and giving it to us. The second point that I can pull from this about surrender is that we are called to live outward lives. We're called to live lives that reflect Jesus, right? That's what a disciple is. If we're trying to be like Jesus, we need to live like he's called us to live and live like he lived. And we're to reflect that. It's an outward expression. It's following him, doing what he commands us to do. Let me just share a little bit here. They mentioned baptism in there, and I think this is an important notion here, is because baptism essentially is identifying with Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, dying and resurrecting again. It's an outward expression of that commitment to him. Does baptism save you? I don't believe that's what the Bible tells us, but we're commanded to be baptized. So I just want to encourage you, as you're considering following Jesus more and you're examining your day-to-day life, maybe this is an area that you need to consider. We have a link on our website for baptism. I've got a short little video teaching about it and some questions that help answer, you know, why we do it the way we do it through immersion, and why it's important. And I encourage you to check that out if you haven't been baptized, because I'm telling you, there is no better time if you haven't been baptized than to do it ASAP. And we have the means to do that, and we will work around your schedule. If God's poking you today and saying baptism is what you need to do first, don't let this moment go by. Talk with me, talk with Pastor Dan, talk with Elena, one of our elders. We will make sure this happens. Living an outward reflection. We're called to live outward lives. And finally, important element here is we are to teach the commands of Christ. See, sometimes we stop short and we get people saved, quote unquote, right? They say the prayer and we celebrate and we absolutely should. But what's the next step? The next step is clearly in these verses that God is saying, Jesus said, teach them the commands that I've given you. Now, there's a lot of places you can find these. It's Jesus' teachings. But perhaps the most concise place you can look at is Acts chapter 2, and verses 42 through 47 talks about the early church. And I encourage you to go in there and circle things like studying the apostles' teachings, prayer, fellowship, spending time together, giving generously, all of these things, serving one another, telling others about Christ. These are all things that are really commands that some of them we're going to look at later on in these series of series, and we're going to see what does it mean specifically to do those. So we're called, as we surrender, to recognize that Jesus has been given the authority, and in light of that, we're given his authority through the Holy Spirit who comes upon us and enables us to do these things. It's not about us, it's about him. We're called to live an outward life, and we are called to teach the commands of Jesus. We are to deny and surrender. The second part of Matthew 16:24 is take up your cross. Take up your cross. We are called to take up our cross, to surrender ourselves, like we already said, and realize that we are calling ourselves, Jesus is calling us to follow him. Yes, we are to do this in life, and yes, there is going to be persecution. Let me just throw that out there. I know we live in a country where it's a little bit more persecution than it had been in the past, but it's nowhere near what other countries deal with. I mean, I just was reading through persecution.com or .org, I forget which one, was telling about how Christians are rounded up this last week in Africa and then just killed. I mean, we don't understand what it's really like to be persecuted. And I don't know if I'm young enough to see some of those things come to fruition in America, but I can certainly see, if you just look at history and you look at what happens in the life cycle of nations and you already see it, they've kicked God out, they don't want anything to do with them, it wouldn't be that hard to see a couple of things go a certain way, and we could see some of that persecution. So we might see that. But Jesus, remember, Jesus is telling them this, take up your cross, because I'm going to be doing this. He said, I am going to be suffering and dying. And this idea of taking up a cross was not lost on them. They understood what the cross meant. See, sometimes today we look at the cross and we think positive, happy things, and that's true because of what Jesus did on the cross, but this was an instrument of torture and death in those times. And it was no surprise to the disciples to understand that if Jesus said, take up your cross, that meant there was going to be suffering. And oh my, did the disciples end up having much suffering. And so this idea of taking up your cross, but it goes a step further in this idea that he's telling them, listen, if you're going to deny yourself and follow me, you're going to be after my disciples, you're going to have to go through some of these same things of persecution and suffering, and you're going to do it as a way of identifying with me. So in other words, he's saying that if you do follow me, people are going to be able to identify that because of some of the things that will happen to you. Well, the Apostle Paul talks about identity in Christ and having this identity, and perhaps the best place to see it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to be there for a few minutes, so if you want to flop over and follow me, depending on where you're at and how much you've been following me, it's a couple chapters to the right. But here in verse 11, and I'll get to these verses so you can leave them up there, Grace. In verse 11, ministries in Jesus, and it's only through him. And Paul is saying, listen, everything that's going on, everything that I'm doing is only because of him. And in verse 14, he tells us this. He says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, being Jesus, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. In other words, if you call on the name of Jesus, he didn't just die for fire insurance. He didn't just die so you didn't go to hell or to the lake of fire. He died so that you would then live in him and take that message to the rest of the people around you. You know, again, you may not call to be a missionary to Zimbabwe, outer Mozambique, Nepal, you name it, but you're called to be a missionary right where you live right now. God has put you there to live in such a way to reflect him and to work for him in those areas where you live. Just saying. Verse 17 continues on, and these are some of my favorite. It says, therefore, okay, that important to understand what's therefore. In light of everything he just said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us, just means made right with him, brought us to him, enabled us to be with him through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, just like I said, he gave you, if you're following him, he's reconciled, he's made you right. Now he's sending you back to be his ministry. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, which is the gospel. Verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Listen, I don't understand. I'm never going to understand. I don't know why God works the way he works. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son who's going to live a perfect life. He's going to die on a cross. He's going to pay for the sins of those that all that believe. And he's going to rise again and he's going to go back up to heaven. And then I'm going to send these rascally 11 disciples and they're going to spread the gospel. And then, oh, by the way, I'm going to get this guy named Paul Saul who was persecuting and killing Christians and goes, I'm going to turn this around. And he had this experience. He met Jesus. And from that point on, you can see in Paul's life. And he's telling us that, listen, this is how God works. He saved you through the work of Jesus on the cross and raising again. And because of that, our lives are changed forever. We're new. We're not the same. Sin's issue is still there. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to say no and have power over sin. And that's this process that we're all going through called sanctification as we come to know Jesus. From that point on till the end, we're hopefully growing closer and closer, and God's revealing more and more in our life that needs to be changed. And then here's the cool thing, he's giving you the power and he's changing you. And then he sends you out with the message and the ministry of reconciliation to make this right. In other words, he's sending you, he's given you your testimony so that you can take that testimony, which is in Christ, and share it with the world. That is what it means to identify with Christ. And yes, there's going to be persecution. Yes, these bad things are going to happen. Yes, we're going to have struggles. Yes, we're going to have hard times to go through. But sometimes God uses those struggles and those hard times, those sicknesses, those diseases, to change you in a way that he couldn't possibly change you any other way. He's going to use that. And here's the really amazing thing is that God uses that so many times for you to then go back and minister to someone else who's going through the same thing that you've been through. You know, here's a good example. If you've ever had like a miscarriage before, I've never had one, newsflash. Never been pregnant. I don't understand what that's like. I can never understand the depth of the hurt, the pain, the struggle, the questioning why God. I can't. I can come along somebody and say, I love you. I know God loves you and he's going to use this, but I can't minister to them in the same way. You can, if that's you. If you've beat cancer and you've been on death's door, and you weren't sure that you were going to make it to the next day, but God brings you through. I can't minister like you can to somebody else. There's no way. Just because I'm the pastor, I don't stand a chance. God has used that to bring you closer to him, and praise the Lord if he brought you through. And here's the thing. Maybe you've lost somebody that way. It's not fair, right? You feel, I cannot minister to people the same way you can. God gives us Jesus, which we understand changes everything, and gives us that ministry and that message. See, the word ambassador is this. We hear it a lot recently because they're nominating new ambassadors and stuff like that for the United States. But the ambassador speaks on the behalf of and has full power and authority as the person he's speaking on behalf of, or he or she's speaking on behalf of. Catch that. If you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you speak on behalf of him, right? He's given you the message and the mission and the Holy Spirit to do that, and you carry the same authority if you're speaking for Christ. Now, we need to catch and check ourselves at the door and realize that it's not about us. It's only because of the Holy Spirit that's speaking through us. And when we begin to identify with Christ in that way, just watch what he does in this world. Finally, follow him. Follow him. Excuse me, I need a cough drop. My voice is trying to get through without one, but so we deny yourself, take up your cross, and then he just says, follow me. Identity in Christ, I firmly believe, leads to multiplication. If you're doing what God's calling us to do, if we are doing what God is calling us to do, you're going to see lives changed and there's going to be multiplication of believers. I just believe it 100%. You look at all the revivals of the past, and that's what it was, is people were faithful to what God called them to be, and they took the message, the Holy Spirit did all the hard work, and suddenly multiplication of believers. Faithful obedience is really what God is after. God doesn't need your results. He doesn't need any checklists. He doesn't need any of that. All he says is follow me. Faithfully and obediently go where I take you. Many in life ask, what is God's will? What should I do? Maybe Should I do this or should I do that? Should I take this job? Should I not? Should I leave this company where I'm at and go somewhere else? Should I sell my house and move? Or maybe, should I marry this person or not? You know, sometimes it's a lot of questions happen at the younger ages. You know, folks that are in their teens or 20s and trying to see, what does God really want for me? And I'm telling you right now, God wants you to be faithful and obedient to His word. Period. Faithful and obedient to His word. How are you going to know how to be faithful and obedient to His word? Well, you're going to have to read it and find out. See, our identity is in Christ. If we deny ourselves, we take up our cross, we follow Him, it simplifies to this. In Genesis, man and woman were created in the image of God. In Isaiah chapter 43, we see everyone was created for Him and His plans and His glory. We're created to bring Him glory. And how do we do that? We faithfully and obediently follow Him. We are created in the image of God, and we reflect His nature. See, that image of God is so critical. The world wants to cut that out. The world just wants to say, that's not true. It's just two cells that come together and multiply, and it's just a clump of cells. And I'm here to tell you today, any life created by God is important. It is in His image, and we must do all we can to protect it. How do we do this, though? How do we go about being part of God's business? In Psalm 100, chapter 100, verses 2 and 3, it says this. It said, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know this, that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. God loves you. So much so that He sent His Son to die on a cross so that you could be reconciled with Him. And not so you could just then coast through life, but so that you can really release love to the fullest by living for Him, by finding identity in Him, and by telling others about Him. In John chapter 17, as Jesus was praying, here in verse 4, He says, I have brought the glory on earth by completing the work that You gave Me to do. In other words, He's praying to God. He's saying, listen, I've done what You've asked Me to do, and I've brought it to this world. And Jesus completed that plan. And we know that later He would then go on to die on the cross, pay for our sins, raise again, and be in heaven. As disciples, we should be about God's business, right? We should be about what Jesus was modeling for us, realizing that even Jesus was in full obedience to the Father. We can see that in the Garden of Gethsemane specifically, where Jesus basically says, listen, God, Dad, I know what's coming. I don't take this from me. If there's any other way, let it happen. But then where does He end? But not my will, but Yours. Sometimes God asks us to do hard things, and it may seem like it's unfair, and it may just be plain old rough. But if we're faithfully and obediently following Him, I believe He will lead us through and make a way. It doesn't mean that it's going to be all hunky-dory on the other side. It just means that we can have the hope that someday we'll be with Him forever. What is our response today? Discipleship was defined by Jesus as this: deny yourself, surrendering to Him, take up your cross, identifying with Jesus, and following Him. Identity needs to be rooted in Christ. I'm here today to tell you that this world is screaming for ways to tell you where your identity needs to be. Houses, cars, relationships, money, you name it. The world tells you that those are the good things. That's where your identity should be. I'm here to tell you today that the only thing that's worthy of calling your identity is Jesus Christ, and we need to make Him center in our life. Identity needs to be rooted in Him, and when our identity is rooted in Him, it leads to multiplication. It leads to an obedient life that leads to serving Him, which leads to His plans, which ultimately leads to His glory, and then someday we will worship with Him in heaven when He chooses to send Jesus back. So what is God asking you to do today? I don't know. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's confessing something that's been hanging on that you need to confess. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a hard decision. I don't know what it is, but I believe that today, if we start with these premise of that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus, it's going to give us a much better direction. Let it be the cry of your heart today to see others come to know Him. Kind of an extra verse here I threw in. It's not going to be on the screen. It's in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Actually, two verses. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. In other words, God knows what's coming for you. He loves you. He's made a way for you to identify in Him. And by identifying in Him, He's going to give you all that you need. He's going to give you what is necessary. I think one of the biggest ways we shortchange God is we run up into a problem. We decide what the solution should be. And let me just tell you, I am guilty of this. And then I go to God and say, Lord, please bless my plan. And it usually, whoosh, right in the face. What we need to say is, God, I surrender to you. I don't know why you're doing this. I trust you. I know you are with me. Lead me and I will follow. God, give me the plan. Today, if some of those things resonated with you, I just want to leave you with this. This life is not about us. God has called us to a higher calling. And if you are following Jesus, then maybe right now in this period of time, you just need to decipher that. Just ask God to reveal to you something that needs to be changed. Or He's even better, maybe just encourage you with what's going on. Maybe He's not going to reveal something mysterious today. But if He pokes at you, and what I mean by poking at you is the Holy Spirit goes, hey, about that. Pray that you listen and you take it to Him. And then ask Him to use you where you're at, where you live, where you work, and have you say, Lord, open my eyes to who you want me to tell about the gospel today. I guarantee you it will change your life forever. As the worship team comes up, the closing song is Hungry. And this idea is this, is that I pray that if nothing else, you guys walk away hungry for more of Jesus today. I pray that you have this desire to just know more. Know Him more. And I pray that no matter where you're at in the journey, no matter how long you've been following Jesus, I pray that it never wanes. I pray that He keeps stoking that fire and a desire to know Him more, to follow Him better, to deny yourself, to surrender to Him will just reign supreme in your life. And listen, if you are here today and you're like, man, I've been falling off the wagon for a while, I don't care. Make today the day that you jump back on His wagon and follow Him.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.